Welcome back, guys. DGS 305. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday. So an organization I've been involved with for years and years now, first as a musician, now as a promoter, since my band kicked me out, is the Songs for Soldiers. My buddy Dustin Rowe is here, the founder. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, too.
Always good to see you. Yeah. For people who have not heard you on the show before or who are new to the listenership, tell them all about Songs for Soldiers.
Songs for Soldiers. Yeah. It's our 11th year, so we've been around over a decade now. We started in 2013. It's exactly kind of what it sounds like. It's a concert to help veterans. And when we started it in 2013, it was my cover band and my friends' cover bands. And that was the goal. Like, you know, hence the name Songs for Soldiers, raise some money. We'll help 4 veterans a year. Money's gone. We'll wait till next year, raise enough money for 4. And long story short, though, here we are in our 11th year. We've turned into a full-blown 2-day music festival the last 6 or 7 years here. And instead of helping 4 veterans a year, we've now spent $1.3 million on over 900 combat veterans and their family across the country, too.
It's got to feel crazy.
It's crazy. It's really cool. And my other favorite stamp to always hit home whenever I get a chance to talk about it is we started as a 100% volunteer-ran organization, and we still are. So me and my team of a solid 10 people, you know, meet once a month, work on this thing all year. Everybody takes their little chunk of the festival, and then our team grows to about 20. And then on show days, it grows to 300 volunteers, and we're still able to say that. So last year's show was great. Netted almost $300,000 for the charity, so pretty great.
You guys, I can say this having been on stage and in the audience, you do as good a job as anybody locally because your shows are great shows. They're really good music. You can sit back, kick back, and really enjoy great bands. You can have a few beers. You can bring the kids.
Sure.
It's hard to please everyone, but you do.
I think we all hear the complaints of ticket sale. Concert costs.
Yeah.
Ticket prices, I should say. Like, and I hear it, you know. And the other thing, I know what we could be charging. We all know that, but we keep it affordable. We're, you know, either Friday night to see some good local bands and Chris Jansen, or, you know, this year Gin Blossoms and a bunch of great local bands. It's $30 to get in. Kids under 12 getting free, as you mentioned. You can bring them. It's a super great, safe environment. Veterans getting free. You bring your own lawn chair, Dave. You know, you just sit back. I think you can get a beer or cocktail. We're at like $6 for a drink. Haven't changed that in a long time. So that's kind of one thing I've hammered home on marketing this year is like, I get it. Like, I don't go to that many concerts either because even my favorite bands, and even though I'm a successful adult now and can't afford high ticket prices, I don't think it's right.
It's nuts.
I just don't think it's right.
It's nuts.
It's not fair, you know?
I use my connections to get a couple NoahCon tickets for my daughter out of Riverport, but the lawn seats would have been $175.
The lawn. That should be 10.
Yes. It's crazy.
You know? And then you're at $20 a beer.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Bring your kids to this because we're just talking like old guys about back in the day and all the great bands we used to go see. And young people don't do that as much. Mm-hmm. And certainly kids don't see live music as much. There's something magical, and I mean that word magical, about seeing live bands.
There is. Somebody locally, I can't remember who said it to me, said, recently I heard my kid listen to Gin Blossoms. Because we've kind of turned into this kid's, he's 15, 16 years old. I heard they're coming to Songs for Soldiers. I saw the billboard. Dad, this is good music. And the dad was like, thanks, man. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it really is a good spot to bring for a first show if you have a little one. Or just make it a tradition, you know. But
you know one thing I don't know about you? Tell me about your service.
Yeah. I joined in June 2001. So I joined as a junior in high school, and you can do that. It's called the Delayed Entry Program. So if your whole senior year can count towards your enlistment, right? And the only difference is you need your parents to like sign your little waiver so you can go to the Army. So you swear in, you come downtown here to MEPS, you do all the stuff, and you're enlisted, but you hadn't gone to basic yet. So your senior year counts. I was definitely one of those kids, Dave, like, I did not know what I was going to do after high school. I mean, not a bad kid, just didn't know. And but I did always want to be in the military. I really did. And so I joined in June 2001, and I even did the 1 foot in, 1 foot out thing. I joined as a reservist. I'm like, I can handle 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. and get some college money. I don't know. It's something to do, though. And then, like, I was sitting in September 2001 as a senior in high school, government class, and my teacher, Mr. Nail, turned the TV on, and I was like, I think everything just changed. Yeah. Like, I don't know about this reservist. And sure enough, I got deployed twice. And my longest deployment would 13 months, I think. We were over in Iraq. So we...
I'm fascinated by this because I never served. Were you terrified all the time?
No.
No.
Rarely. And I'm not saying that from like some cavalier position. It's just you become... You really can get used to anything. You could, and I remember even when it came time to come home after 12 months, there was big enlistment bonuses. I'm sorry, to stay over there or whatever. There's big civilian contractors offering you three times the amount of money you made as a soldier to come back as a civilian or whatever. And I remember it being tempting. I remember having gotten so used to escorting fuel convoys, and that's what we did. About every four fuel trucks, we would have a Humvee or a gun truck, and I was either used driver in the turret, and we just protected him. So if we got attacked, we'd fight our way out of it. That's kind of how we spent the year. And but yeah, I was used to it. Like I remember thinking, I don't know anything else. I'm only 20. You know, I turned 20 over there.
This is what I'm best at.
I've gotten good at this, and that I don't mean that in a gross way at all. I'm really proud of my unit and our time there and how they handled themselves, because it's very easy to get unethical whenever emotions are so high. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I can look back and remember seeing or doing anything that made me think, you know, that was inhumane. Like there were bad days, really bad days. But they kept it together. And I think that doesn't get said enough about combat veterans.
No,
I mean, it takes some serious
bad stuff.
You do. Yeah. And I don't know. It's been 20 years. I've really come around on it. I've learned to understand it all. I've said this before. This is another weird perspective. Maybe you'll find interesting. There might be listeners right now that don't like what I'm saying, veterans themselves, but we were like 40 miles northwest of Baghdad, right? So we were in the central Iraq. And if you remember at that time, ISIS wasn't even a thing yet, but Al-Qaeda in Iraq was a thing. And Al-Zarqawi was running them. And, doing some crazy stuff. But he was out like in the Anbar province and Western province, like Fallujah and Ramadi and those areas. And I noticed 20 years removed, sometimes it takes time to sink in, but when we would get attacked by Iraqi fighters, they would stop civilian traffic, hit our convoy, you know, and we'd duke it out, whatever, get in a gunfight. I can respect that. We're in their country, but they didn't want to hurt themselves, their people, you know, like it was very... Okay, you're here. You shouldn't be here. I'm getting paid to get you out of here. Whereas out in Western Iraq and like ISIS and they would just kill everybody to kill one. And
that
it's just,
sense.
I think war is weird. And I would like to think that a lot of Iraqi dudes that I fought that were my age and 19 years old, I bet now our kids play soccer and we would actually have probably more in common than some Americans,
right?
I know, you know, like. Just weird.
No,
I'm sorry,
no.
I kind of went off there.
No. I'm glad you said that. I think that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things do you do for your fellow soldiers?
Sure, exactly. Just got the coolest text today. We have a lot of cool partners, but just over the weekend on Saturday, we helped a veteran. We work with Fortify Building Solutions. They do metal roofing. They used to be called Reed's Metals, I think, locally. In the last 2 weeks, we've put about... We've done two roofs, brand new roofs for veterans. One was out in Sykeston, a veteran that was fighting cancer, but doing all right, an older guy. And then we helped a younger veteran, when I say younger, a 40-year-old veteran with the most recent roof. But about 95% of our veterans come through VA. You know, we're looked at as an outside resource. And if a lot of mortgage relief, so if a veteran's, you know, 2 months, 3 months behind on, you know, we will pay the lender directly. So we also don't give veterans the money. We've never done that. So if they're $800 in the hole on an Ameren bill, we get online and quick pay Ameren. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Just as another level of, I don't know, trust and transparency with people that donate to us, you know? So yeah, mortgage relief, home renovations, utility relief, medical bills, legal trouble. Most recently, we helped a veteran's mother, a late veteran's mother, cover the cost to get her son's remains back home from Florida. You name it, we've run across it.
What are you always looking for partners?
Yeah, I mean, we're always, you know, we for a long time, we worked with Home Depot. We got a lot of veterans jobs at Home Depot. They would just move them right to the front of the line of the interviewing process. But yeah, like I said, the roofing company is absolutely wonderful. We got a great, we're based out of Columbia, Illinois, right? So we got a great local mechanic there that whenever veterans, at least within the St. Louis area, have car trouble, we get the car there and they do all of our work at cost. So yeah, of course. I mean, we're always, you know, but I always do this too. I just called the tree trimming company the other day to help a veteran in South City. And I'm always clear to people like, hey, I'm not calling you to get anything for free. We do the work to raise this money, and I realize you're a small business tree company. If you have the ability to give a discount and want to, that's fine. If you don't, I won't remotely. That's why we exist. That's what we're here for. And, you know, I'm a small business owner. It's tough. Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah.
It all works so well.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been really good at it, and you've been lucky, and it's like, it's really an example.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to start this now, mm-hmm. I'd go look at these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do it the right way.
Yeah.
Give all the details again for people. That's coming up weekend after next, right?
Not this weekend, next weekend, September 13th and 14th. For country fans out there, we got Chris Jansen, really good country performer. Joe Stamm Band, the Mighty Pines.
Yeah.
And Neil and those guys are coming. Yep. Love that guy and that band. Then the following night is the Retro Nerds, my band, Dazed and Confused, Joe Dirt, Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players, and then the Gin Blossoms are headlining. So
I saw Joe Dirt's first show. I've seen them play a million
times.
Where
was their first show?
House of Rock, I believe.
In South County?
Yeah, I remember when Mark Quinn...
30 Thursdays.
Mark Quinn quit my band. He's like, yeah, some guys, we're going to start a band. We're going to wear wigs. I'm like, see you next week then. That's going to work. And then turned into Joe Dirt.
What? How many years have they been at it?
I mean, this would have been 2003.
Okay.
So I bet they've had their 20th anniversary, but they come alive at Song for Soldiers.
They're a different show there.
Yeah.
They'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, and Mark brings his great partner. She's backstage hanging out. It's just a good, it's a great family thing. But when people ask me my favorite band in the whole world, my favorite band is Joe Dirt. I love watching classic rock and roll
you
done
can do worse.
Perfectly right.
Absolutely right. Websites, things like that.
Yeah. For tickets, S for S. That's S4STL.org. And you can just pop us in Google too and it'll show up. But once again, super affordable show. Last year on Friday night when we had Travis Tritt, we did hit capacity for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we had Cheap Trick the Saturday night and we sold a lot of tickets to that as well. But as you know, when you do a St. Louis show, I'm about 3 days away from watching ticket sales fly through the roof if the forecast just...
Yeah.
weather sells tickets here. I've done it long enough to watch that happen.
That's right. All right, buddy. Good to see you as always.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
324 DGS. You know who I'm mad at and I shouldn't be?
Who?
That kid who broke the ancient vase.
Oh, you're still mad at him?
I'm still mad at him.
Why wouldn't you be?
Well, because I should be mad at his dumbass parents.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because it was a little kid, right?
4 years old.
Oh, yeah, that's the parents.
Yeah, he was trying to look inside the ancient vase because why wouldn't you? You're 4 years old.
Right.
He broke it.
Right.
Well, they took him back. They invited him back, and they even let him try to glue a replica piece together, but it all broke again. So
wait, what's the point of doing that?
Yeah, I don't know.
To trick him into thinking he fixed the situation?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think so.
That's doing more harm than good at this point.
Yeah, maybe they're more mad at the kid than you are even.
Yeah. I mean, 4 years old, that's all parents.
Yeah.
Your kid cannot be roaming free in an area where there are like priceless things.
And you know the parents were like, oh, I told you not to touch that from 20 feet away.
I remember it. I have a weird memory, and I have a very good memory of being very young, and I can feel what it felt like in my body wanting to touch something I wasn't supposed to. Just like the electricity going through your hands when they're like, now don't you do it.
You're like, gonna do it.
My next door neighbor had a garage that he was like worked on cars and stuff. and he was a lot of fun and had grandkids my age and had a lot of toys. And he had this, it was like a about the size of a kid, and it was a cutout. It was a clown, and they had cutouts. You'd throw beanbags through the holes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play with it, but no one was home to ask, so I just decided to take it. And what I didn't know is it was holding up a part of a structure that was holding up a diesel battery.
Uh-oh.
And I pulled it, and I remember turning to run and then passed out because the battery fell and hit me on the head.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I was sitting on everything when I was a kid was copper tone. And it was one of those chairs that a little footstool came out from it.
Mm.
And it was copper tone. And I remember my mom and dad looking at it and going like, well, he's not bleeding much. It's just really kind of a dent. And I'm like, am I the smartest person in this family? Like, I can't blow on my thumb and pop it back out. And I can remember how cold the copper tone chair was on my butt. I don't know why I didn't have pants on. But I could make a movie of that. Do you guys have memories like that? That are really distinct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I do. I mean, I can't necessarily call any to mind right
yeah.
now. But
no, I
have. I mean, I definitely have.
How young? Kid.
Oh, I mean, I remember back way before kindergarten.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have a really solid hold on, like, kindergarten, first, second grade.
There's a few things from that time that I remember, but nothing specific like that. Like, I don't remember how old I was, but, I mean, I had to be really little. I dropped my little favorite toy doggy in the toilet.
On purpose?
I was like three. No, I was like three. I didn't mean to, but I remember being very mad about it.
I
thought
have,
it was ruined.
Of course.
But we saved the doggy. We washed him.
I also
okay.
have that thing where I have memories, but I know they are not memories because they are in third person.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, you what have was your one you were distinct... telling the other day? You were telling a memory the other day and then on the air, and then it was like, oh, maybe this didn't happen.
Oh, was that...
maybe this
What was that? Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's something I feel very strongly did happen, but you guys were like, it sounds like that didn't happen.
Yeah. It didn't sound like you're lying. It sounded like you're making it up.
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of those memories.
3:35, DGS. We usually talk to Dave Murray, but Dave is spending his last day with his grandson, so he sent us a live look.
I hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. Certainly no complaints with our weather, especially Sunday and on Labor Day, Monday. And the delightful weather is continuing. It's been a great Tuesday across St. Louis. Now, we're going to be a little bit warmer, a touch more of a southerly flow in play Wednesday and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny skies, 86, 87 maybe for the high temperatures on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, late Thursday into early Friday morning, we have another cool front dropping down in the northwest flow. There's not going to be a lot of moisture to work with. We'll keep an eye on it, but this is basically another dry front coming through. But it will turn our winds to the northwest, and that means a little knockback in temperature again come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with high temperatures right around 80 degrees. There is a little bit of a tropical spin right along the Texas coast. Keeping an eye on that. I think it will have a lot of trouble bringing that moisture up towards us because the northwest flow will be in play, but certainly don't want to lose sight of that, and I'll keep you up to date on that. Hope you have a great week ahead. Remember, for most of us, it's a short week. We'll take it.
Cool. You know, I do the whole show on one piece of paper, one page of notebook paper, and some of the things I write down are pretty good. You know, they're pretty smart. They're pretty, like, compelling. Like, oh, I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about this. And then I write down things like this. For some reason over the holiday weekend, I thought it was really smart to write down, to win in baseball, you need position players to hit.
That would be true.
Yeah.
Because pitchers don't hit anymore.
You know what? Sounds right to me, and I don't
pretty obvious.
Know anything.
I mean, like, I was really proud of that. I took up some real estate on my page for that.
Yeah, that's a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right.
It ain't wrong.
It's not inaccurate. It's dead on the money.
Mm-hmm. Also, I wrote down no two snowflakes because I was watching something about the Ice Age, and they're like, no two snowflakes have ever been the same. And I'm like, that's crap.
Hey, how do you know?
How can you prove that?
How do you know that?
You don't know that. Yeah, no, this is. I have the same problem every time I hear that. I'm like, you have absolutely no way of knowing that.
Just because they're very different and the 50 you've looked at under a microscope are not the same doesn't mean that the trillions and trillions...
Aren't there places in the world that just snow all the time, 24/7?
South Roxana.
Yes.
It only snowed.
It only snows in South Roxana.
What if they're all all the same somewhere?
Yeah, what if they haven't looked at any?
Somebody one day was like, you know, those are all different.
Every one of them.
Like, are you serious?
It just caught on. Every one of them is different.
We just kept spreading the lie.
Yeah.
I've also realized how different...
Snowflake gate.
I am from other people. Like, my algorithm this weekend decided I needed to see people climbing K2, which is supposedly even more deadly and difficult to climb than Everest. It's like 50 feet shorter, but it's much harsher. And there are these guys, and they're like, yeah, we tried to do it without supplemental oxygen, but we failed. And so it took us 5 years of training to get back and do it without oxygen. And I'm like,
just use the oxygen.
You are as different from me as a cat.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing in common with those human beings.
Yeah.
I don't even like walking uphill. Like, I was watching some hiking videos, and they're in a beautiful field full of poppies or whatever, and it's an incline, but it's not bad. They're like normies, and I'm like, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language.
I just want to hike down all the time.
This is a segment I can really contribute to.
Yeah.
Walking uphill.
Give me
so
a decent...
Overrated.
Ascents, no.
Hey, I say descents are decent. All right, that's my motto.
Oh boy,
that's decent.
I don't do this uphill stuff.
Stairway to Kevin.
Sure. All right. So I got some audio that goes along with this because I saw this and I did not know this was a true thing. So this is a guy who was kind of. It started off. He's complaining about things about other people that annoy him just in the world. Like, people are so dumb. Why are they so dumb? And this is not about being dumb, and I want to be clear, this is not about picking on anybody or being mean. It's something I did not know, and I wonder why it is the way that it is.
If you've ever found yourself wondering, why are people like this? Why do they do the things they do? Don't they read? The answer is no. About 50% of Americans read below a sixth grade level, and only 50% of people in general have a moderate to advanced level of abstract thinking, meaning half of all the people that you meet don't think in the abstract and don't read above a sixth grade level or at all. I learned these facts today, which alleviates a lot of my frustration with just people. It's not really their fault. The education system has failed them. But it also makes me mad in other ways. Like, why has the education system failed all of us so much?
So that's a part that is interesting. So I looked that up to make sure that was a number, and it is. So 54% of adults in the U.S. read at or below a sixth grade level.
That's amazing.
21% of adults in the U.S. are illiterate.
Mm. Mm.
20% read below a fifth grade level. 44% don't read a book in a year, but some of that, if you just don't want to read, it's not that they can't, they just don't want to. 19% of high school graduates can't read. 1 in 5 high school graduates can't read.
How do you graduate?
That's my question. So this is kind of that last part. Yes, it does make sense when you're like, why do people take these ridiculous positions or believe conspiratorial nonsense or things that are made up? Well, because they didn't learn how to read in nuanced ways. And that audio is longer because he goes into essentially what it means to read at a sixth grade level, like what's expected of you as far as understanding themes and underlying. There's it's not just being able to understand the words. There's more. But if people can't do that, well, then we can't expect them to do that. It's like saying, you know, I've never tried to hit a baseball before. Go face Shohei Ohtani. Right? You can't do something you've not been prepared to do. Why is this happening? Why are we in a place in one of the wealthiest nations on earth where 1 in 5 adults can't read and 1 in 5 high school graduates? It's one thing, again, I'm not, this is not a judgment or making fun of anybody. This is clearly, though, a systemic failure. How can you have the resources we have in this country and this still be true? How do you graduate high school if you can't read?
You know what it makes me think of is when you have 40-year-olds working at White Castle and wanting more money. And people will say, well, that's not a grown-up job. That's an entry-level 16-year-old job. Well, it is a grown-up job if you can't read and you can't engage in abstract thinking. That's about as well as you're going to do.
Right. And it's not about blaming the person.
No.
Because clearly the system is failing. If you're allowed to graduate high school and you can't read, there's clearly a problem there. And I mean, you've heard about like social promotion, right? Like, well, we really should hold this kid back, but they're with their friends and holding them back might do more harm. But I'm arguing, no, it won't, because you're
I was terrified of being held back.
But if you can't do the things that are required to graduate high school, that is going to affect you negatively the rest of your life. That's going to affect you negatively for much longer and in a much deeper way than the embarrassment of being held back would be.
Agreed.
I have a story on the show sheet of a teacher. This happened back in 2018, but she was fired for giving kids zeros for not turning in their homework assignments. So I don't know how.
Wait, if you don't turn it in, you should get a zero.
Well, there was a policy at the school that you got a minimum of 50% on every assignment. 50% is the lowest grade you could get at that school.
Why?
As a way of...
Feelings?
To help people feel better and to push people towards the next grade, even if they shouldn't be going towards the next grade.
Yeah, the thing that's irritating to me about these facts and this idea is that it's very fixable. It's very fixable. You know, if you don't do your work, that's a zero. Like, that's not negotiable. Because what's the one thing in the world you have to do? You've got to do what you're assigned to do, whatever your job is. At some point, you're going to need to have a job. And you're going to have duties. And you're going to have expectations. And you need to be able to complete that. If you're letting people off the hook from the age of 8 until 18, and, oh, it's okay, or, well, the minimum you can get is 50%. Well, the minimum you can get in your job is fired.
Well, look at what's going on with St. Louis Public Schools. Who would have thought that in 2024, when we all thought that we would have flying cars and robots and everything, that in 2024, the education system in St. Louis is worse than it was in probably 1980? Fewer kids can read, fewer kids can do math, fewer kids, you know, graduate with any sort of skills. They're taking buses to school. They're taking cabs home. Shame on you. All of these, in quote, doctors who are always taking over as the superintendent, one failing after another. Can you find one doctor or maybe a not doctor who can find their ass with both hands? Doesn't seem so. Seems like you find all the people that run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
And we also need to, I believe this, and I know it's not going to happen, and I'm sure people will disagree with me, but we have to stop making education about how much money you have. Because if you have money, you'll live in a neighborhood where there are other people with more money, and your schools are going to be markedly better than the schools that are in a poor area.
And apples and oranges.
It doesn't even matter where that poor area is. It can be in the city, it can be in the country, but in a poor area, you will not get the same level of education that you will in a wealthier area. And until we decide that we're not okay with that, because you think about one of the differences between us and other Western nations, it's that. You go to some of the European countries, and again, I know it, they're smaller, it's different, not saying you can do what they do, but I think it might have been Finland. There was a news story, and they're talking to the parents, and the parents are like, we don't have to shop for schools, they're all the same. Every school is the same. We don't even have a state where you can say that, let alone the nation.
There's so many African-American kids in the city and in lots of cities who are, you know, reading way below level and math below level. Last night, I watched 60 Minutes. I never watched 60 Minutes, but it just happened to be on and I kept it going. And there's a story of these two girls at a school called St. Mary's. I'm not sure what state it's in, but it's all African-American and it's all ass kickers. It's just rigid and demanding. And these two girls became the second and third humans ever to find a mathematical proof for this theorem that's been around since ancient Greece, but you know, Hawking couldn't find a proof of it. And these two high school girls did it. And they were interviewing them and saying, so are you guys math geniuses? And they said, no, we just go to this school where they demand a great deal of us and we try. I thought that was so powerful. Like, no, we're not geniuses. They just expect a lot from us and we deliver. Couple headlines.
Absolutely. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a Gallup poll, 70% of Americans approve of labor unions. That's the highest level of support since the 1960s.
Good.
Thought that was kind of cool after Labor Day to get a poll back like that. According to another study, when people reached out about a billing error when it came to their medical bills, almost 75% had the mistake corrected. So the moral of the story is, if you see something, say something, and
push back.
Get some money knocked off. Costco is raising their annual membership fees. Did you know this, Wheels? This is not good.
I don't remember it, but I'm sure I'll still be fine with it.
They rose by $5 for U.S. and Canada Gold Star individual members, bringing the yearly total to $65.
It's totally worth it. For me, they don't give me any money. I just give them my money, but I love their store.
Executive memberships increased by $10 to a fee of $130.
Uh-oh. Are you an executive member?
I'm an executive member, yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what do you get with the executive membership?
I have no idea.
That's a Susan question.
Yeah, that's a Susan question. I think it's just a matter of, like, bigger ticket items. If you buy them there, you get, like, better warranties.
What's the most expensive thing you bought at Costco?
Well, one of our TVs, set of tires.
There you go.
And we do all of our eye care. I don't have stuff, but my wife gets her glasses and stuff there. So
yeah,
very nice.
I mean, that and the big barrels of food.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!